Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and we are celebrating the Year of the Family. Listen weekdays to catch our original programming with special guests and amazing topics for your entire family, health, wealth, wellness, and so much more. It's the YOTF right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're going to love it. And now, back to our show.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
can let go of this Aquarius. You dig where I'm coming from, baby? So like you see, I got something here that you don't ever want to turn down. I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul.
Your mind, your soul.
Every day of my life.
Seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community, my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
All right. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and we are on the line with the amazing Magi Helena. Good morning, Helena. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie. It's so great to be here today.
Yes, awesome. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in when we talk about astrology, and I love the introduction that you gave about understanding astrology. Would you be kind enough just to share one last time, just kind of bring everybody up to speed on what we think of when we say astrology or what we should think of?
Okay. Well, the very basics or the basic premise is that the positions of planets in the sky make various mathematical relationships to planets on any particular day. If we sort of had a map of the sky on a day, let's call it your birthday, Carrie. If it was your birthday,
yeah,
there'd be sort of a map of the planets on that day. And then if we were going to look at what's going on in your astrology for today, we would look at the relationships between the planets in the sky today and the planets on the day of your birth. And the type
wow.
of astrology I do, Carrie, it's the only type of astrology that's actually based on scientific and statistical research. It's not based on belief systems. So our way of interpretation and understanding has been validated or verified by research.
Love it. Love it. Well, listen, one of the big reasons that we wanted to have you on the Hair Radio Morning Show at this time is because we are forever honoring the legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I was hoping that you could take a look at, you know, and kind of, you know, give your ideas on any kind of chart or anything that you wanted to share. What would you like to say today, Helena?
Well, I'd love to speak a little bit to Dr. King's incredible astrological birth chart. I mean,
wow.
When you do look at birth charts from the perspective of scientific astrology, they're very, very clear. But while everyone has gifts in their birth chart, big gifts from God, we all also have some challenges. And not all of us are able to live up to all of our gifts for various reasons. You know, life isn't easy. And what's so amazing to me, one of the many things that's so amazing to me about Dr. King's chart is how beautifully he was able to live up to all of his gifts and face down his challenges. This was a man who did God's work in the world. And
wow.
and he was able to do that through the gifts in his chart and then the personal discipline and the personal honor and the personal integrity that he had as a human being. So when I look at his chart, one of the first things I see is how gifted he was as a speaker, obviously. He was immensely talented and he had a hunger to communicate his ideas. The way I would express some of this stuff, I would talk about planets rather than talking about zodiac signs, because we don't use zodiac signs in scientific astrology. They just haven't to work well enough. But what I'm talking about here with Dr. King's chart, one of the things is, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff that's not going to make a whole lot of sense unless you're a student of astrology, but he's got an amazing iron butterfly of Sun, Saturn, Ixion. Ixion's a planet way out there past Pluto in what's called the Kuiper Belt. And then he's got a Jupiter midpoint and Midas as the at the fourth corner of this iron butterfly. And people that have complicated and symmetrical geometric shapes in their charts, these are the people that really have the most powerful gifts. And Dr. King's chart is just full of what we call planetary geometry. And you can cherry pick almost anything and see this. You see his dedication to humanity, to all kinds of folks in all kinds of situations. You see his hunger to bring in a better world. And you see that while he was angry, he channeled the anger into trying to actually do things that could work. He channeled the anger into talk of peace and nonviolent protest. I mean, I am so moved by what this man did and what he was able to take, the raw material that God gave him, and the way he was able to use that raw material to make such an incredible contribution to the world.
Absolutely. That we still celebrate this so many years after his death, and that it's become it's a national holiday that's taken it on, I call it an international meaning, and I'm just so grateful that it has, and just, you know, it's everybody's life is touched, touches someone else, and I think that Dr. King understood this. His message of peace still, you know, is something that we, endeavor to and aspire to in this country. And I'm grateful. I think his birthday and everything that we celebrate about Dr. King is important. Like this time right now, it couldn't be more important to be reminded of Dr. King.
Exactly. He had, aside from a dream, he also had a sense of some of the ways that we could affect change. And, of course, so many of those still are waiting to be changed, waiting to be affected. Hopefully now we're in another period of time where strides can be made, because as a white person who's run around her whole life saying, well, I'm not a racist, which is true, but I was too dumb and too disconnected to understand that that's not enough. It's about changing the systems that create the inequality. It's not enough to just not do bad yourself. You know, until the bystanders get involved, nothing's going to change.
That's right. And I think that's something that I appreciate hearing that. I really do, as a man of color. I also want to say, just in looking and analyzing all of this, it's race. Talking about race is never easy. But I have to always say that, to me, we could have dealt with a lot of this as a country a lot earlier. And I think that... And it's never too late, so we can't look at it as that it's too late. And I think, you know, we should stop, all of us, looking at so much the differences, because there are differences here and there and little tiny things, but for the most part, we're all looking for the same things in life here in this this great country. And so I think we're starting to kind of start the healing, you know, the conversations and the dialogue. That's kind of coming out there, and then we'll start the healing. And I think that's all that I think folks are looking for. I think we have to start to look ahead, and I think we have to just be accepting. And I think that's all that we're looking to accomplish. So yes, are we going to have these? We're all affected by the you know, what I call the narratives that are created for us to kind of, you know, shout at each other and, you know, to have these, these huge, shouting matches and stuff. But we've got to look, we've got to say, hold it. Why are these nuggets tossed out there in between us? You know,
exactly.
Let's kind of pull back and let's just kind of first start with the things that we do have in common. And then we work through all those and get down to, well, you shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that. Then fine. But let's start with the commonalities and let's take it from there. You know what I mean? And this is all about being inclusive. That was the message of Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a person who was inclusive. And that is the one thing I do want to say, being the host of the Hair Radio Morning Show and all about this recognition of Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. Martin Luther King, his entire message was that of inclusivity. His entire message was about including everybody. He considered everybody, whatever color you were his brother or his sister. This is not just me saying it. You can listen and research and listen to the recordings. But yes, all out there. So with that, we have learned in this country, we have what they call a politicized things. We have turned things into all kinds of, color this and color that and this and that. But Doctor, if we really look at his message, he loved everybody. And that is the true legacy of Dr. King, not remembering for black folks' sake or, to help black folk, if you will. Now, look, on being a person of color, we're honored, and we're not a model, so I can't speak for all black folk, but I can speak for myself. I am honored to be a part of that, the culture that, put forth a Dr. King. Great, all well and good, and his message uplifts people of color. Absolutely it does. But I think his message uplifts everybody, and that's what he wanted it to do. And I think that this is a very good example of that today. So, Helena, I thank you.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I just said I thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Well, he's a fabulous example of greatness in an astrology chart can bring greatness in people. And one of the hopes that I have, when I talk to people, Carrie, I have clients in 40 countries around the world, probably more than that by now.
Wow.
Everybody wants the same thing.
We want
some peace, we want some freedom, we want food on the table, we want our children safe. That's
a few pennies in our pocket.
When we work together, and I mean all of us, we could be so invincible. We could solve all the world problems. We could solve the climate issues and save our beautiful planet. And that's possible, But people, I guess, have too much hatred or too much bias or too much insanity or mental illness or whatever the foundation, too much poverty, too much trauma. And the brilliance that our species has in all the colors that we wear on our skin, we lose so many brilliant people. How many brilliant people have been lost to slavery? Lost to genocide, lost to residential schools.
That's right.
Think of all the Einsteins, think of all the Dr. Kings that aren't even able to come forward in life. I mean, Dr. King, at least he came from a family where he was able to get an education. If he hadn't been able to eat, if his father hadn't been able to feed him, we wouldn't have had him.
Well, so, I'm so glad you said that, Helena. And listen, let me just tell you, I've always said this. I said, just imagine, just for a moment, all of those young men and men of color and stuff that, God forbid, that have had these encounters with the law, and it's turned out, even on most of these videos and things, where it appears that they were just gunned down by officers and things like that. And we have to watch these, and some of us have become desensitized to it. But I'll say this. Imagine if those folks were allowed to contribute to the tapestry of America.
Exactly.
Just imagine the greatness that it could be, where it appears that America, we have a slim minority. It's not the majority of folks. I believe that majority of the folks want all the things that we've talked about, and we want to share in a prosperity that does and can exist. We see it. And we have to take the leadership, and we've got to kind of start to massage and maneuver, move these folks out, that old dinosaur way of thinking.
Exactly.
Those folks got to go. They've got to go. Some just, fall out in office, and we're sad about that, but we're glad that they're no longer in office, and they're being replaced by a generation, a new generation, who is looking for change, but is also willing to put their effort into making that change happen. So, yes, we definitely, America, I've missed many opportunities to be greater than it is now, but than it could have been along the way. If it had, instead of taking the time to detract and to pull away and to not support everybody, black, green, yellow, purple, support everybody, because all of us bring greatness to this amazing planet and to this country. So I think that is the message that's starting to get out a little bit more, and I'm honored that it is, because I think we can still be the great country that the forefathers and the folks since then and our ancestors here wanted it to be. And Dr. King's message will live on.
You've said that so beautifully, Carrie. Thank you.
Well, listen, I just want to say, Helena, I so appreciate you. You come onto the Hair Radio Morning Show. You get me talking about things I didn't know I was going to talk about on today's broadcast. But I love it. I love it. And we got to get you back on a regular basis where you can share some of this amazing scientific type of approach to the astrology and to looking at astrology through a little bit of a, I have to say, it's a different lens to me. But I'm so grateful that, you know, that the way that you attack, that you share this information is from a very credible resource. So you're doing something fantastic. Now, I've got to tell everybody, go to your website. So I want to say this, your website, M as in Mary, A-G-I, H-E-L-E-N-A.com, majihelena.com.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Very important. So, and there you have, like I said, even in our recent times you've been on our show, I've shared this. You have an amazing website, and we've got to put some links at our website as well, but you have an amazing website with a lot of information that I think the resources that I think you guys are going to love that will help you navigate to greater success with your life.
Thank you.
So that is my whole thing.
If any listeners are interested, there is a written blog on Dr. Martin Luther King on my website. If you click on the blog link at the top and then click pop culture, because that's the category it's in, there's an article on him, The Astrology of Greatness, and you can see more of his chart and more about what made him such an incredible, incredible human being.
And again, that website is www.magihelena.com. So it's almost like the word magic without the C. Mm-hmm. So magihelena.com. Please check it out. Helena, we've got to get you back soon, okay? This was incredible, much more profound than I had anticipated. Thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Carrie, it's always a pleasure and an honor to be on your show, and I send blessings to all your listeners.
Awesome. Likewise. All right. Folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more this morning to get to on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us. Stay with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth. But radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, in television, your tube goes a minute just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, have you?
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Hmm. Okay. But do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today from the world of fashion. And boy, oh boy, does he have a story to share this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Okay, let's bring to the line Mr. Nicholas Stiles. Nicholas, good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to the broadcast. Okay, Yes, it's my pleasure. And listen, I want to jump right on in to this. This is, to me, a very big, big story. It's one that has not, that I hadn't heard about. I want to start here. You are, you had been working with a legendary music artist. You were hired to work closely and be an assistant to this legendary music artist. And shortly thereafter, the music artist passes away.
Right.
So I want to get the story with how all of this came to be. You know, the entire story. I think we want to tell this. But first, let's kind of go back a little bit. Now, you are, where are you from, Nicholas? Where were you born and where were you raised? That wonderful good stuff. What can you tell us this morning?
Lorain, Ohio. From Lorain, Ohio, born Lorain, Ohio, raised in Lorain, Ohio. That's actually where I live right now because I've been back to Ohio.
Okay. And that's near the Cleveland area.
Yes, about okay. a good maybe 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland.
Okay. All right. So now this person, this superstar, if you will, let's just go ahead and put it on out there. We're talking about the late Mary Wilson. You guys know her from Supreme's fame. She's been, you know, forever immortalized as far as we're concerned with her incredible music talent. And so we've got to go back. Let's start at the beginning. How did you find out, how did this come to be where you were hired on as an assistant for the great Mary Wilson?
Well, then if we're going to talk about that, we have to go back even further.
So all right.
2018. Actually, I think we should go back even further than 2018. When I was about eight years old, I was watching PBS, and they were doing a telethon to sell DVDs for the Ed Sullivan Show. And I honestly didn't know who the Supremes were. I knew the name Diana Ross, but I didn't know who the Supremes were. It was, you know, I'm watching this little program that they were doing to raise money for the station and sell these DVDs. And the Supremes come on, and they're wearing these baby blue sequin fish scale halter neck dresses. And what made me fall in love with them is their dresses. So then I started, you know, going on the internet, looking them up, and I found, you know, more videos of them and more. I found that they had more dresses and more sequins and beads. So then I started looking up who they were individually and looking up their individual stories, not knowing that there was a connection between Supremes and Dreamgirls at the time. And well, until later on when I looked it up and discovered more of like Florence Ballard's story, and they compared it to Effie White. From there, I didn't know if you were going to say something. But from there, I had always had a dream of being a fashion designer. So when I discovered the Supreme, it kind of like felt like I found my muse of what I wanted to wanted to design. Because I've always had this idea of glamorous stuff, glamorous clothes, but I never had a face to put to it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So when I discovered the Supremes, they became the face to my designs.
All of the glitter and the glamorous stage presence and the dancing and singing and those amazing songs. They have like a billion songs. And wow, okay. So you fell in love with them at that point. Never dreaming that you'd be working for one of them.
Well, in 2015, December 2015, my grandmother, Faye, died. And one of the things she always encouraged was my like liking for Motown. She had a bunch of records because that was her period of growing up.
Right.
It was the 60s. So she had a bunch of records and she'd play the records and we would listen to the records. She'd tell me like, oh, I remember doing this or doing this to this song. And I remember she tried to get us a tour of the Motown Museum. She died before that happened. But she did one thing she did say is kind of, I guess, a coincidence. Everything she said happened, but it didn't happen exactly how she said it, because what she said was, you're going to meet Diana Ross, and you're going to become close to her, work with her, do all these different things. And everything she said happened, was going to happen with Diana Ross, happened with Mary Wilson.
Wow. But she had that vision.
Yeah.
And quite often, when you get those visions, they, to me, they happen, but it may not be exactly, you know, what that person had seen. But that is amazing.
Right.
So that was the beginning and quite possibly planted in your mind as well. And it could have started you on that road and path.
A little bit. No, definitely. Mary and Diana are my favorite Supremes. And I remember every year Diana would come to Ohio, I would try to go see her. Something would always happen. One time, so whether the tickets sold out before I could buy the tickets or I wasn't old enough to get into a venue, because most of the time she would come to Cleveland, would be at one of the casinos, so they didn't allow anyone who wasn't over 21 in the casino.
Right.
So there was one time I had everything ready. I was going to go to Vegas to go see Diana Ross. And this was a month before the pandemic happened. I was the week before my flight was supposed to leave, everything got shut down. So it kind of felt like I'm never going to see this woman. So just kind of like a thing of it's never going to happen. But by this time, I was already in contact with Mary Wilson. January of 2018, after a phone conversation, we had never met in person before. We talked on the phone, and I had.
Well, how did she? How did you find? Did you see something on the internet that she was looking for an assistant, or how did she even know that you existed?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she knew. Well, I don't know if she knew I existed or not, but I will say when I told her who I was, she acted as if she knew who I was already. So it was never a question of how you got my phone number or who are you, you know, anything like that. But how I got her phone number was her hairstylist, her name is Diana, evidently. Her hairstylist posted their text messages on Facebook and didn't realize that she posted the text messages and had her number at the top of the
page.
And so I'm like,
wow.
Mary Wilson. I knew who Diana was because a lot of the Supreme fans are connected with each other, so we all kind of know each other in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew who Diana was because he's been talked about, and he's talked about working for Mary. So when I saw it, I'm like, that's not really Mary. So Mary's phone number. It's like, that's too easy. Like, this is no way that I have this woman's number. So I text the number, and I said, Merry Christmas. This was obviously, you know, Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas, because that's the day I found it, was on Christmas. And he replied back, Merry Christmas. I don't know who this is, but happy holidays to you and your family, something like that. And then it said, touch MW. And from her Facebook post and her Twitter post, she'd always use that as her signature at the end of her statuses, touch MW. So I'm like, no, this really isn't her. I said, I don't think it's really her. So I got curious, and I texted the number again. This was January, though. And I texted and said, hey, I was just wondering, I'm starting a lip gloss line, and I was wondering if you would be interested in being a sampler for me. And she responded back, sure, call me. Me waiting to, you know, so I'm nervous, obviously, because I'm like, I don't know if it's really going to be her or not. So when I called, I heard her voice, and I said, wow, this is really Mary Wilson. So we talked on the phone, and like I said, never once asked how you got my phone number. The only thing she asked me was, what's my name and where am I from? That's all she asked. But she never asked how I got her phone number, you know, what was my reasoning for calling her. She was just completely polite, kind of as if we knew each other all this time.
Or very kind.
Yeah. Opening, welcoming, and friendly. So, kind of put me at ease, too, because...
Yeah.
At the end of the conversation, she states that, you know, I can't help you financially, your business, but I can be a mentor if that's something that you're interested in. And I said, yeah, I actually, honestly, only wanted you to be a tester. Or just, like, sample it and post about it, take pictures wearing it and saying that you like the product if you did like it. I honestly wasn't contacting you for money. And she said, okay. She said, well, yeah, if you want a mentor, I can help guide you in the direction business-wise of where you want to be. So I said, okay. And we went from there. Like, that was January.
Amazing. Wow.
I ran a Supreme.
How did you
club.
Feel? Were you not just overjoyed? Or you,
yeah,
weren't you overjoyed? And yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now you were still out in Cleveland at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine, yes.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Yes, of course. In Ohio. Safely say Ohio. But now where was Mary at that point?
Vegas. Either Vegas or in L.A. No, I'm sorry. She was in L.A. because the address she sent me when we got off the phone was an L.A. address.
Okay.
She was in L.A. at the time.
Okay, got it. Wow. Okay. So how did the conversation, okay, great. She is friendly. She is kind. You kind of started that connection. She offered to mentor, to be a mentor, which is amazing all by itself. But you're still out there. How did that conversation evolve to you becoming her assistant, though?
Well, I honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think she needed an assistant. I think what it was is that she more so just wanted someone to be with her or someone around her. Because what she told me was, she hasn't really had anyone creative on her team. And when I say creative, I don't mean like, you know, creative with ideas, creative with, you know, actual like artistic skills, things like that. Hair, makeup, I can do hair, I can do makeup. So all of that is kind of what she was looking for more so. But I also feel like she wishes also, whether she knew she was at the end or not, maybe she just wanted someone to be there with her. Because when I was over there, I never did any, honestly, never did any work. I sent maybe a few emails, looked up a few things.
You think when you travel, when you were over there, so when you traveled from Ohio out to Vegas, and that's where she had come, apparently left that L.A. Address and went over to Vegas. Okay.
Yeah,
and
home for her is Vegas.
Home for, okay, so that's where she lived. That was her home. She was based out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so so you went out there a while ago to meet up and all of that. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay, so
in November of 2021.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's been a long time. Okay.
Yes, November 2021, she said, I need the system. I wish you were here in Vegas. I'd hire you full time. And I said, well, in my head, I didn't respond to the email like this. I said, in my head, well, I can make that happen.
I'm telling you, I would have been like, somebody's at your door. That's me. I'm at the door. I would have jumped out the window and been there in 2 seconds. Of course. The great Mary Wilson.
It was 2 seconds. I had nothing planned, nothing saved. I had, when I left Vegas, I had $200 and a plane ticket and a suitcase full of clothes.
Okay. And that's plenty.
Yep. That was all I needed, because I knew a dream of mine had came true. So I didn't care about anything else, honestly.
I didn't
care about what she was paying me. I would have did it for free, honestly. I didn't care about what she was paying me. I didn't care about anything. Nothing of that was in my head. At that moment, and even once I got there, at that moment, only thing that was on my mind was, I am sitting in front of someone I look up to almost all my life.
Wow. Let me just take a moment to bring everybody up to speed. Folks out there, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest who is with us telling a remarkable story that he has lived. The personal assistant to one of the greatest entertainers of, for the generations that have passed. We're talking about Mary Wilson of the Supremes. And I have to say, the young man is Nicholas Stiles. He, in his own right, is a creator. Well, they call now, a creative. He is doing all these amazing things that we're going to talk about. And he's kind of bringing us along in this great story of first meeting Miss Wilson and, of course, discovering a passion for the Supremes and following his grandmother's great premonition that he one day would meet a Supreme, and so it has happened. I have to say, this story, Nicholas, is just unreal. It's unreal. It really is. And you're just
honestly
getting started. And it's unreal, yes.
And honestly, tell people the story, whether I'm doing an interview or talking to someone, a friend or a family member, or just talking to someone who doesn't really know the story. It kind of feels like I'm telling a dream, not really a real story. Or I'm telling something that you would hear about in a book or in a movie.
Absolutely.
Not something that really just happened to someone who, I guess you could say, dared to dream.
Well, she's a music icon. She's a music icon. So now, we were at the point where you went out to Vegas, the first meeting. What happened? Who picked who up? How did you connect? Did she show up at the at McCarran in Las Vegas at the airport and drive you from there? Did she send the car or Uber or what? Oh,
that
was not
first
your
meeting.
First?
No, that was our first meeting in Vegas, though. But she came to Cleveland the same year that we met over the phone. She came to Cleveland, and that was our first time meeting in person. And then she also came to Detroit that following year, and she was hosting a party, and I had drove to Detroit for the party. Because Detroit, to me, is only 2 hours.
It's not so far, right, and she was close by. By that time, you guys had gotten close.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was already my mentor. We were talking, you know, on the phone, not every day, or maybe like every other month or something like that. And
you stayed in contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
She would email me to check in, talk to her about me being depressed, and she had to check in, see how I was doing, and things like that.
Awesome. Now, what about that first meeting, though, when she came to Cleveland? What did you, I mean, were you super excited? Did she look like you believed she would? Or how did you guys, apparently you clicked.
Well, how that happened was my birthday is August 31st, so she came in September of that year. And I had knew she was coming because I kept track of all of her tour dates, so that I could post them on the fan page that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was coming to certain cities. I'd say, well, hey, Mary's coming to this city, or and she'll be at this place, or whatever. So when I saw she's coming to Cleveland, I looked it up and saw that it was only $15 to get in. I'm like, Cleveland, it's only $15, and I bought my ticket instantly. So I remember my mom called me. Friends text me and tag me in different posts on Facebook and Instagram, like, you know Mary Wilson's coming to Cleveland, right? I'm like, you already know, I already know this. I've been picking up my outfit for a month now. So the night before she came, I called her because I was unsure of like what type of event this was, because as it got closer to the event, the venue added more information about the event. And I wanted to know what was it for myself, like I should dress up for. So it was also at a museum. So it was like, so I asked, should I dress up? Should I, you know, come casual? You know, what should I expect? And she was telling me, you know, don't worry about it. It's a, you know, casual event, so you don't have to dress up or anything like that. Well, I guess I should have thought when someone older says casual, they mean more like business casual. Because I came in there with leggings and a flannel wrapped around my waist. And everyone had suits on and...
Right. Oh, ooh. Don't you feel like you just want to melt into the ground?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I had a suit picked out.
Right.
Was, you know, since she said it isn't, you know, I don't have to dress up. I mean, I'm not going to dress up.
Yes. Well, you know what you learned? You absolutely learned that day the difference between casual and business casual. Believe
right.
me. And that's a lesson a lot of folks don't know. But in a way, it made you stand out also and
mm-hmm.
express your style to a big degree.
No, it definitely did. And it did for two reasons. So when she walked out from the back of the museum, she looked around the room. I told her I was coming, so she looked around the room. We never saw. Well, I knew what she looked like. She didn't know what I looked like. So she looked around the room and she didn't see. I guess she was looking for me. I guess. So she looked. Me and her made eye contact. She smiled and she, you know, started looking around the room again. And then she looked back at me again. She said, "Are you Nick?" And I said, "Yeah." And then she had this big smile. She was like, well, come here. So she, we kind of had like an awkward moment where she held her hand out. I held my arms out to give, she held her hand out to him, shake my hand. I held my arms out to hug her. And then she held her arms out to hug me. I held my hand out to shake her hand. So it was kind of like a back and forth for us. And we just ended up shaking each other's hands. And then she said, look what I have on. And she pointed to her lips and it was a lipstick that I had made for her. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't talk. And she started laughing at it. She said, it's okay. She said, I'm sure you'll be more settled after the program. So after the show, we'll talk. So she gets on, it's like a live Q&A she did, a live interview. And the lady who's interviewing her asked her, does she mentor? Because they were talking about Maxine Powell and all the other mentors that her and the Supremes had at Motown. So she said, I don't really call it mentoring, more just giving guidance to younger fans. But if you see the young man sitting right there in the front row, I guess you could say I mentor him. He makes lip glosses and lipsticks, and that's how we became connected. So now everybody's looking at me like, oh, you know Mary?
Like, who are you? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Wow.
So, that was the first time we met.
Amazing. That is amazing. So from there, you go back to, she came out to Cleveland, so you're already near your home, not too far from Cleveland. So that was that, and as you mentioned, you guys stayed in touch over the months and all of that. And at this point, she's your mentor, you're the mentee. And now, your friends, what does your family think of you? I mean, because you have to look at it this way also, Nicholas. You're from a different generation, totally different parts of the spectrum when it comes to generations. Did people think you have like an old spirit or any of those kinds of things? Were you teased about being connected to some legendary artist? So how did that play in your head? And your friends, what do your friends think about this?
I'm not like I felt like an old soul or I was called an old soul. For example, I remember I was younger, and there was a birthday party. Of course, a kid's birthday party I was invited to. Everybody, was wearing sneakers and jeans, maybe, and I wore dress pants and Stacey Adams shoes. And everybody was looking at me like, why do you have church clothes on? Because it's what I felt comfortable in.
Wow. And even your communication style, it is feels like I'm talking to more of a contemporary age-wise, really. But that is just amazing. You put folks at ease, and we're going to talk about that. So, which I imagine went over very well with Mary Wilson. So, tell me about that.
It definitely got critiqued one of the days that I was at her house. So, it was wash day, and I only had this bodysuit that I had bought, a jumpsuit I bought. It was a tight jumpsuit, and I had wore a shirt over it because I wore it as kind of like pants, so I like wore the sweater over it to make it look like it was pants and a shirt. And the jumpsuit was really tight. So she opens the door, and she goes, hi. And she stops and looks me up and down and just moves out the way and kind of like just lets me in, doesn't say anything. And the whole time, I'm like, well, I don't know what I did because she just keeps making these faces at me. So I'm like, either she doesn't like me or something wrong with my outfit. I'm like, well, I don't know. So it kind of made me awkward because she really didn't say much to me like she usually would. So the next day, I come over and I'm, like I said, it's wash day, so I don't have anything but like jogging pants that were clean. And I wore the jogging pants that I had over to her house, and she goes, these pants, the first thing she says, these pants are a lot better than the ones you wore the last time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you said, you didn't say anything, but you kept making these faces, and I wasn't going to say anything if you weren't, but since you did. She said, I was making faces, and I said, yeah, you're making quite a few faces. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. It was actually kind of funny. And she's like, my thing is, when you have a big, and she stopped. Is that a big, and then there's this pause, a big behind. You don't wear tight pants. I said, oh. She said, yeah. She said, oh, you know, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but, you know, you just, it's not flattering. Unless it's the kind of attention you want.
Oh, okay.
I said, I understand. And she was like, well.
That's great. That is great advice that I will never unhear. That's great advice, I think. How did you take that?
Well, once again, it was one of those things that made me feel more comfortable around her. Because
yeah.
It was like I was home.
And she always seemed to speak her mind on television interviews.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now, at this point, I wanted to ask you, Nicholas, and again, if you guys are just joining us, I'm speaking with a very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's a very, very special broadcast. We have welcomed the last assistant of singing superstar, the legendary icon, Miss Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Nicholas Stiles is his name, and he's joining us today with this amazing story that you don't want to miss one part of, believe me. It's just, I've never heard anything quite like it. Now, I wanted to ask you, during some of these meetings, you guys met, she came out to Cleveland, you guys met in Detroit, you stayed in touch over the months. The friendship was growing, the mentoring was going on. Was there ever a point that she shared details of her journey as a Supreme with you, or did she ever talk about Diana? I mean, we want to know these things. Did she ever mention Diana Ross to you?
If you are looking for anything shady, no. But she definitely knows Diana's name. And I want to say this first. There's not one person in this world who I can't stand that I'll have pictures of in my house, hang up on my wall, or don't like or dislike. If she had paintings that she purchased of Diana by herself, hanged on her wall.
Wow.
So, well, she had pictures of all of them, her, Diana, and Florence, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't have pictures of a person I disliked or anything like that on my wall.
Right. Right.
So,
did you get the feeling that she did not like Diana?
No, never, actually. Never felt that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me let you go ahead. What did she tell you? Did she call you to the side and say, listen, let me give you the real story? Did she talk about Berry Gordy and Motown and all that?
I will say this. Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Mary Wilson, I guess say Auntie Mary, were two different people. When I was around her or talked to her on the phone, it kind of like was like, I was talking to just Mary Wilson, the person, not the Supreme. So when she's telling me different stories of her youth, it's kind of just like a regular older person telling you about the good old days. But her stories of Diana were few. There was only like two or three, as she told me, that had Diana in it. And it wasn't like, let me tell you the key. It was more of like, let me... I asked her a question, and, for example, Wilson Pickett, I had asked her a question about him, and she was telling me about a documentary they had together called Only the Strong Survive, if I'm not mistaken. It was Wilson Pickett, the documentary, Mary Wilson, Carla Thomas, and Rufus Thomas. And the reason why Wilson Pickett's name I came up with because I was asking her about Carla Thomas. Carla Thomas actually... is a family friend. Rufus Thomas and Carl Thomas are family friends. And I was asking her about them. But she was telling me, she's like, I remember when we did this show, this interview, and Wilson Pickett, typed up the story about us back in the day. And I said, is this a story about the car ride? And she said, yeah, you know exactly what we're talking about. So the story was, the story goes, Wilson Pickett said, we'd have Marion Florence sit in the front and Diana sit all the way in the back with her head down because she was so ugly. And Mary was like, everyone started laughing, and it made me feel awkward because it really wasn't funny, but it was just like, now I'm in this space because we were already going through our own little thing publicly at the time. So for him to say that, with me sitting right next to him, made me look bad, or something made me look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I just hope that she didn't see that and think like, oh, there she goes again. So that was one thing she said.
Interesting. Wow.
But more of the stories were about Florence, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I
so
said, didn't
they were. What did she share about Florence? I mean, that is to me a huge, huge. Florence was the whole kind of the impetus for the whole Dreamgirls movie, really.
Right.
So what can you tell us that she shared?
Well, what she said was, I had mentioned something about, well, she mentioned something about my weight. And I said, I'm going to do what Florence is going to tell y'all. It may be in, but honey, fat is where it's at. And she started laughing, and she said, Florence, she sure was a character. And I said, I wish I could have met her. And she said, who? Diane? And I said, no. I said, well, I want to meet her too. But I said, no, Florence. And she said, oh, no, she was definitely somebody you would like. She was a person reporter like it is. Always.
And she called Diana Ross Diane always. Every TV interview I've ever seen, I've never seen her call Diana Ross Diana. She seemed to always call her Diane.
And what she told me wasn't about that particular situation, though. Well, her calling Diana Diane. It was about someone else. I can't remember who. Oh, Muhammad Ali. So she had said he would get mad at her for calling him Cassius. Because she's like, that's what I met him
yes.
as, and it always
Cassius Clay,
him.
Yes.
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 So when he changed his name to Muhammad, it was like, hey, Cassius. And he's like, Mary, stop calling me that.
Right. Wow. So Mary had a lot of famous friends, I imagine.
Yes.
Like that legendary fighter, Muhammad Ali, originally, you know, first started out Cassius Clay, of course. So did you get a chance to talk to her about some of these superstar collaborations and some of the things, and how did that, what might come to mind, like some of the things that she, because you guys were going to start working on projects, and I can't wait to talk to you about what were some of the things that she wanted to, or that you guys started working on together.
Well, I couldn't say this. We didn't start working on anything at the moment. What she was more so doing was training me. She kept saying that, I know what you want to do with your career. And she said, I know what you're going to do with your career and what you're going to do with your future, so I want to prepare you for it. And I'm going to get to that later. Because you know how you said about my grandma, how she made this happen with her dream or her vision. I feel like Mary knew something I didn't know. And I'll say that later on.
Yeah.
But, one of the stories she told me, it was the first night I was with her. And we had went out to dinner. She said, well, what do you want to eat? And I said, I'm open to anything. I honestly have no reservations on anything. So she said, well, what about Thai or Japanese? And I said, I've never had either. So you know that Japanese food I feared? Mm-mm. So I said, well, I'm probably going to go to this Japanese restaurant I really liked. So we went to this Japanese restaurant. We were sitting there. And she ordered, you know, she's like, well, you ever had sushi? And I said, no, just raw fish makes me uncomfortable, the idea of it. And she laughed and she said, well, they have cooked sushi also. I said, okay, I'll try that. So she got me a thing to tempura sushi and some type of like vegetable sushi. So she got me both of them to try. And then she gave me a piece of her sushi also to try her sushi. I can't remember what she had. And we're just sitting there talking. And she slides me a $100 bill and she says, well, this is your, you know, first payment or whatever. It really wasn't a payment, it was more so just to make sure I had got around the city. And I had, you know, some money in the city until I had got paid. So we're sitting
there. It sounds like you were just excited to be in the mix of things.
Yes, and I just was in awe. Like, I'm trying to eat my food, and I just noticed little things about her that we had in common. Like, I'm sitting there, I hate when I'm sitting in front of someone and I'm chewing my food so I cover my mouth. That's the same. She did the same thing. She pulled her bank card out to pay, and we had the same bank. And I said, well, you have Bank of America? And she said, yeah, I have Bank of America. She said, and I said, well, that's the same bank I have. She said, they're a really good bank. I said, I wouldn't use them for business, though, but they're a really good bank to have. So, you know.
Wow.
That was something that we had connected on. So I'm just, like, sitting there just kind of, like, in shock. Like, I couldn't even eat my food because he just was in shock.
Well, you were sitting with a real-life dream girl.
Yes. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I am one of these excited fans, but I have to say this. This is so surreal for me because I thought of dreams about since I was a kid, and it actually happened. I'm sitting here eating sushi with Mary Wilson. And she got it like,
wow.
She covered her mouth while she was chewing. And she swallowed and she goes, well, you know, I understand. That's all she said. And then I had asked her, I said, well, is there any celebrity that you had ever been around that you just felt starstruck around, whether it was the first time meeting or whatever? And she said, only one celebrity. She said, this celebrity, from the first time they met in the 60s to the day they passed away, I want to say that she...
Elvis Presley.
And the,
oh, no.
In the early 70s.
Elvis Fitzgerald? Who?
One more guess, and I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You said it was a female back in the 60s.
Female actress singer. Yes.
The only one I could think of was Judy Garland. Okay, I give
her. I want to say in the 2000s.
She passed away in the 2000s. Diane Carroll, maybe? Who?
Lena Horne.
Lena. Oh, that should have been one of the top of my list. Yeah, of course. Lena Horne, yeah, she fits the bill. She would make me nervous, you know. Absolutely. Lena Horne, another legend. We're talking about, you know, just Stormy Weather, her big song. Just real amazing. She was across the board, had talent that spread across the board, and just a lovely lady, very talented lady. So, yes, I could get that. Wow. Well, aren't you lucky just to have Mary Wilson, superstar singer of the Supremes, telling Nicholas Stiles all of these wonderful tidbits. Now, I do have one question for you on that subject. What about the movie Dreamgirls? You mentioned it early on at the top of our wonderful talks today, but what can you tell us? Did she ever mention the movie Dreamgirls or Jennifer Hudson or Jennifer Holliday for that much or anybody?
To me, no. To me, no. Well, I know she was really good friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh, she still remained friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Who played the Diana part in the Broadway version
of
Dreamgirls. Right. The original Dina Jones. Well, yes, we know our research here at Hair Radio. So I tell you, which is amazing. Yes, well, you guys know Shirley Ralph. She went on to star in Brandy. And, of course, Brandy was on the cover of our Upscale magazine just a couple months ago. I just think there's a full circle thing going on here. I think it's amazing. And what a remarkable story. And, again, if you've just joined us, if you're just tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm having an amazing conversation this morning with Mr. Nicholas Stiles, who is recalling this amazing journey that he has. I think it was a life-changing journey. Supporting, yes, and being the assistant to the one and only superstar, legendary music icon artist of the Supremes. We're talking about Mary Wilson. I mean, the Supremes, you have to understand, really the most successful female group of all time. Mm-hmm. Of all time. And, yeah, and just so many different things. They led the way on style. They taught the world about style. They opened up so many doors professionally and otherwise. They were just amazing. I mean, you know, when you think of it. And, you know, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to kind of talk now about some of the, you know, and I think this is going to be a little bit of the hard part, because I want to talk about what happened, you know, how all of this came to kind of a sad end. And so you're working, you're doing all this wonderful, good stuff. How did the conversation come about that you were going to travel to her home out in Las Vegas right before all of this happened, that she passed? What was the crux of that conversation?
Well, first I had to call my cousin. My cousin had offered me earlier that year, so this was November 2021, and in January of 2021, kind of like it's kind of like you said, full circle, because in January 2020, not 2021.
Oh, okay.
And then November 2020, not 2021.
Oh.
And yes, it kind of like full circle, because in January of 2021, that's when I moved to Vegas. But in January 2020, my cousin had offered me kind of like to come stay with him in Vegas. He was like, you know, hey, cuz, he's like, I see that you're doing drag, and he was like, you're really good. He's like, I think that, you know, you should move to Vegas, and you can come stay with me. I'm not going to charge you anything. You know, he's like, I really want you to come out here and do drag, perform. I said, oh, I'll think about it. Moving anywhere wasn't anywhere in my mind. Well, it was, but my bank account said otherwise. So I, you know, wasn't planning on moving anywhere. So when November 2020 came and I get this email from Mary Wilson, the first thing I could think of to do was call my cousin. And I called him and I told him, I said, hey, Mary Wilson from the Supremes just offered me a job in Vegas to come be her assistant. Can I come stay with you? Is that offer still on the table? He said, yeah. He's like, you know, I have a roommate now, but other than that, he's like, if my roommate's cool with it, I definitely don't mind. I said, okay. So I called up Mary, and I said, hey, I saw your email, and if you need me to come to Vegas, I can do that. When do you need me to come? And I kind of just jumped the gun. She was like, no, you don't have to come tomorrow. You can kind of slow down. I started laughing. And I had said, well, we can, she said, we can start from here and then, you know, transition you to Vegas going into the following year, which was 2021. And I said, okay, I'm fine with that. Because it gives me enough time to, like, you know, save up my money and get everything in order.
Get things together, right.
I had an apartment here. I had, we have the best paying job in the world, but I had a job, you know.
Yes.
I had things here. So I would have to figure out, you know, my lease and all that. You know, finishing, you know, because my lease would have to be cut early.
Mm-hmm.
To move to Vegas. So
wow.
I just had to figure all that stuff out. And like I said, I just have to be saved. I only had $20 when I moved to when I got to Vegas.
Wow.
I told her, and she said, okay. So then our next conversation, she had asked, she said, well, what was your savings goal? Let me just say something about that. And I said, well, about $2,500 if I can get that, you know, in from now to January, maybe, because I'm thinking that if I can have it by January, I can leave in January. She said, okay. She said, well, I hope you know, once you get out here, you don't have to worry about anything. I'll make sure you're taken care of all the way. And I said, okay. And being that she kind of kept her word throughout the years of her being my mentor, I thought that that was what's going to happen. You know, once I got out there, I'd be taken care of. And when I did get there, it seemed as if that was what the plan was. She asked me again after I got there, well, what was I expecting? And I told her, $1,500 a month. I felt like if I'm going to be traveling with you, $1,500, I'm sure those costs of me traveling will be taken care of not out of my pocket. And she said, yeah, that's true. I'm sure you have your flight and hotel and food and all that taken care of if we're going somewhere. I said, okay. And then she said, so here, $1,500 a month would, you know, make sure I have a car at least when I get back to Vegas. So that if I needed to, you know, go pick them part-time, you know, in our off-season or whatever, that I could do that to make a little bit extra money.
Well, and she agreed to the $1,500 a month.
Yeah, and she said if not, I'll just give you, I'll just buy you a car.
Yeah, because that's a steal, $1,500 a month. Oh gosh, wow, how awesome is that?
Yeah, I personally didn't think that was a lot. Because if we're being honest, that's a little bit under what I make at this present time.
Yes, and that's not a lot at all. That's what I mean. That is an amazing thing that you were going to assist her for that. But so now this is we're coming down to like, what was that, like November, like December, January of 2021, I think we're kind of digging into?
Yeah. We're January 15th is the day I left to go to Vegas.
Okay, so you left on January 15th, Dr. King's birthday, actual birthday that is.
It's also the day Diana Ross left the Supremes.
Wow, is that correct? Wow.
So I kind of set that around that, actually. I did that strategically. But
wow. Wow.
Actually, the day that Diana, January 15th, 1970.
So on the 15th, you went out to Vegas. Now, so tell us what happened from there. You started working for her. And so what happened from there? You worked for her. What did your work consist of? Did you go over there every morning and have meetings? Did you stay over at night? Were you guys playing Supreme songs all day? What were those meetings about?
So what we did was a lesson, what we agreed upon. So let me start about the first day, the very first day. Because the very first day set the tone for the next 3 weeks. I go to her house. This was the day after we had sat down and had like a little like brunch together, kind of like a formal meeting in Vegas to discuss what she would expect from me and all that. But the first day at her house, She told me to come around 11 o'clock. So I actually was kind of late. I was there at 11:05, only because of the Uber. But she said 11 o'clock, you know, if you want, you could be at my house between 11 and 12. But I was thinking that someone said 11 first. I assumed she was there at 11. So I get to her house at 11:05, and she opens the door. She's like, she's kind of like covering her head. She's like, I'm sorry. She was like, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on. And I said, well, I don't know why you have such pretty hair. Her hair was.
Well, how was her hair? What was it, like in a ponytail?
It was in a ponytail, yep. She had like something covering it with her hand. And it was, I mean, when she took it out the ponytail and brushed it, started brushing it down, it was a little bit past her shoulders. It was silky, straight, and all silver.
Wow.
And she was like, I said, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on, but, you know, you're here now, so. And I said, no, you're your natural hair.
And it was so beautiful.
Yeah, something she said, something that I noticed, it was thinning around her hairline. That's nothing that a weave can fix.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. I told her, you definitely start wearing your natural hair. I said, it's long enough that it can be worn. It's not thin all over either.
And how did she feel about that? What did she say when you mentioned that?
And she said, thank you. And she said, as I said, that set the tone for the next 3 weeks because she never wore a wig when we were together. Now, she wore a wig when we went to, like, Target or we went out to eat or whatever, but she never wore a wig in the house.
Now, was she ever recognized in your presence by anybody?
No.
Did anybody ever know? That was Mary Wilson of the Supremes?
I think COVID had a big part of that because of the mask. She wore masks.
So that would definitely, and especially if she didn't have a wig on.
Yeah, I don't think anyone noticed who she was. Besides, I mean, we did go to her P.O. Box office, and they knew who she was because she's been working with them, you know, for so long.
Right.
But other than that, nope. I've never heard anyone say, oh, that's Mary Wilson, or aren't you that lady from that group, or nothing like that.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Clint Beast on the boom. You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Stick Watch Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. You can catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15 when it all broke off. 18 and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone, I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no, no.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my head.
Your expectations, no.
I am not my head.
I am not the skin.
I am the soul that lives within.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh. Does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh. On national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining, singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, hey, hey,
I am not my head.
I am not my head.
I am not this skin.
I am not your expectations, no.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Terry Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story. And we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Thursday morning.
January 20th of 2022. That's about 7:36 in the morning as we broadcast live. Well, listen, if it is a 7:30-ish time frame right here on the show, it is time for Harlem Will, the Harlem Will Report. It's my great honor to bring to the line again each weekday right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, Harlem Will. Happy Thursday.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Well,
happy Thursday.
Yes.
Happy Thursday to everybody.
Absolutely. It's our show number 658, Harlem Will, as we march to work show number 700. So what have you got for us today on this edition of the Harlem Will Report?
So I uncovered today one of the first stories I wanted to jump into. We haven't tried to talk about it for a while because people have been so tired of discussing it, and I completely understand. But we have some new information about COVID-19 during the Delta wave, a story being reported in Stat News, Boston Global Media outlet. And they report that the headline reads, new data shows those who recovered from COVID-19 were less likely than vaccinated to get infected during Delta wave. Keyword, the Delta wave. Delta. Not the Omicron, the Delta wave. So it goes into just right out the gate. Is your ears percolating about that a little bit?
I'm not surprised, though, to be quite frank. But go ahead. That sounds like an interesting lead-in.
Sure. So here's just a little bit of the article. New data released Wednesday showed that both vaccinated and prior infection offered strong protection against infection and hospitalization from COVID-19 during the Delta wave. In that case, and hospitalization rates were actually lower among people who had recovered from COVID-19 than among those who had been vaccinated. The data released by the CDC and prevention and health agencies in California and New York are sure to inflame arguments from those who insist they don't need to be vaccinated if they can show they're recovered from COVID-19. However, the data contained many caveats that health officials stressed pointed to the value of vaccination even on top of prior infection. And let's just go with this last article. I'm not going to stress it too much. And while research has shown that infection can train the immune system to guard against the coronavirus in different ways than vaccination, COVID-19 also has killed more than 850,000 people in this country, sickened, often severely, millions more, and caused untold cases of long COVID. Serious side effects from COVID-19 vaccines are extremely, extremely rare. So, again, it basically explains within that article I just read, it's basically explaining that while there were some people who showed that there's some data that shows that, yes, you showed some protection against the Delta variant than some who were infected while vaccinated, but still not getting vaccinated yielded way more deaths than those who were vaccinated. This is simply
Absolutely.
The data that's explaining it.
Well, that's been the discourse. That's been the discourse that has been floated for quite a while, actually, to be honest. Very interesting. I mean, they have a lot of new developments since we kind of, you know, quite a few of us kind of step from the TV news every minute on it. But one of the big developments are those pills that cut down on the severe hospitalization. So that is a significant thing. And I'm told I believe I've been told by someone who's a colleague that they were, given these pills by a doctor. And so I didn't even know it was that quick, but I know that they were approved and all of that. At least that's what I believe I heard. And so we're going to have to keep following this. I mean, there are developments, and I think it's kind of good now to peek in on this, and we're going to hear it here radio, and I'm hoping we can do it in conjunction with the Harlem World Report, where we can take a look at this entire picture. We have been talking about this here since, what, 2020, I believe, where it had just, I think 2020, maybe the end, but certainly 2021. You know, it's just been a long time. And we need to take a good look at this entire pandemic. I also would like to tie it into how it has affected those in the hair and beauty industry. So we have a lot of that material early on. We have a lot of it from some EDs, from some educational directors. And we certainly have our perspectives. And we're going to put all of this into a special streaming that we're going to bring very soon to you. So that's my remark on that, Harlem. Well, what else have you got for us, sir?
Absolutely. And speaking of how in the article it mentioned how it could inflame certain arguments, discussing the vaccine and COVID all in together has been a very, very, just to put it mildly, sensitive discussion, you know, practically walking through a minefield whenever you even bring up the conversation. And a good example of this, you know, happened on ESPN yesterday, where two colleagues, Stephen A. Smith and Jay Williams, former basketball player. Stephen A. Smith is also a 30-year beat writer slash sports commentator.
Yes.
They both got into a very heated exchange over the sensitive topic of vaccinations, being unvaccinated, and Kyrie Irving, particularly with Kyrie Irving, the basketball player for the Brooklyn Nets. And he started accusing Stephen A. Smith of manipulating the commercial times and how long of the – basically filibustering the discussion while they were on air. And then because he wanted to chime back in about a particular topic. And then Stephen A. Smith went right back at him, calling him a Kyrie Irving apologist. And, you know, it got really dicey.
Wow.
And –
I'm sorry, I missed that one.
It was must-see TV-ish, and I say ish because this is just me in my opinion. I've looked at this, and the reason why I brought this up is because they're two colleagues. They've gotten along very well, even if they had different opinions. But it got really bad on air. And again, these are usually two guys that they chop it up, they have a good time, and it's not to say that friends can't have a heated discussion if they're being honest with each other. But boy, did it get nasty over this discussion. And, you know, people were just kind of like, you could see even the moderator, you know, her face was like, whoa, guys, you know, let's take it easy. And that seems to be, I think we've reached a critical point just in mindset. Whenever we discuss the COVID or the vaccines, just the situation in general, where people feel like they either got to be strongly on one side or strongly in another, and it's ruining friendships at this point. Have you noticed it? And this is for anybody who wants to chime in. You could call into the Hair Radio Show. But have you, Carrie, noticed that certain people just want to avoid the conversation because of how sensitive, how steadfast people feel in one bias or another?
I haven't noticed that they have been trying to avoid the conversation so much, but I'll tell you how I feel about it. I think everything has been polarized in this country. Everything has been politicized. Everything is about division tactics and, you know, and in my opinion, a lot of negativity when it comes to the discourse here in America. Particularly with the vaccines, I don't think I've noticed that for the simple reason that most of us, regardless of whether you are for it or against it or somewhere in the middle, you are usually, because of social media, you're typically surrounded by folks who feel and think like you do. So it's unusual for you to perhaps have that as an experience. However, in some of the workplaces, there are folks you can't control sitting there and working with you. So quite often, that's where you'll encounter this where it's a difference of opinion. Now, with that being said, with regards to the vaccines and all of that, to me, I see that, you know, and I may feel differently about it than other folks, or I may be, you know, so I do see kind of steer away from those hot topic type discussions. I have them in my family. Listen, I've got some very educated folks that I'm related to, and they are very learned people and all this, and I've been kind of sucked into these hot button topics, and we're screaming at each other. And then, but you know what I say at the end of the day? This is my family member. This is my best friend. This is whomever, and I'm not going to let these discussions, which in quite often a lot of this was created to stir the pot and quite often cause these kinds of, you know, problems, you know, in terms of us getting along. So I think it's important that we remember to first be civil, you know, be civil to one another. You don't have to agree.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, if you can't really even talk about that, and that's a shame because we should be able to talk about pretty much anything. But if you
right.
find that you get a little hot under the collar quickly, and I know a couple of folks that if you slightly disagree with them about, you know, it's cloudy outside and they say sunny, you know, and they're ready to just, I literally know folks like that, and they will jump off. If you say anything that you don't agree with their opinion, they will
mm-hmm.
go through, they start getting all mad, and then it becomes, you know, when an argument has, I call it jump the shark, and it becomes very heated where they start making personal attacks. When they stop talking about whatever the issue was and then start calling you a name, you know, or that you're a da-da-da because you believe that.
That's when the train goes off the tracks.
When the train goes off the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly correct. So that is my
Absolutely.
Thing. And once you – listen, I stopped with – I have one person I wished I could talk about it, but this person's been on the show, so I better not say any more than that. And I do not – I don't talk about – stuff. Believe me, I kid you not. I will talk about how's the family, how are your kids, what's going on, this, what music have you listened to, anything besides one of these topics, because it doesn't end well. And so, and I really mean that. so this is a great subject.
No,
I absolutely love it, and it's one that needs to
yeah.
be explored further.
Right, just to put a cap on it, just to keep in mind, brown and Hispanic and black family and black communities are the least likely to get vaccinated. So this is why this becomes a discussion, and a lot of folks, I think when you talked about how it's polarizing, it points to what you talked about, what you have you said many times, where the TV. The first thing that comes out of their mouths are COVID this and COVID that, and they call people unvaccinated and vaccinated, and it creates a polarization of both people who, you know, of people who make the choice of which actions they want to choose. So then it creates that
polarizing
image.
Well, that's not what really created the polarization. What created the polarization is that you had politicians who decided to exploit this for their own individual gain. And that's what
right.
creates the polarization. But the thing is, and it's sad, it's so sad. I mean, I'm not going to get into it now, but when we do this special, you might want to put on a new set of ears, because I believe that we can be honest and we can have these discussions and we can talk about these things. And we're going to backtrack a lot because we have to go and lay this out. Now we have data or data, whichever way you like to say it. We've got that to look at. We have our own conversations. We have tons of conversations right here on our broadcast to listen to and offer new commentary. We have the Harlem Well Reports research, and we are going to take a look at all of this, and that will be a great special. So I'm raising my hand. I'm in. We'll keep you guys informed.
Excellent.
Awesome stuff,
Excellent.
Harlem Well.
Yes. All right. Yes. Keep those conversations going. And then final topic I want to discuss. So, of course, me being a late millennial, yes, I am approaching 40, guys. So just in case you were, you want to keep calling millennials the young people, we are in
the
30s.
Oh, you barely, I don't
40.
Think you qualify for the millennial anymore. You're about to age out of that, Harlem Will.
You don't necessarily grow out
I'm
of
teasing. I'm
just the next the next generation up now. They're going to be looking at us.
So you'll be, what's the real older one? The baby boomers.
The baby boomers.
No, I'm kidding.
Right.
You can't possibly. Yes, depends on when you were born, and you're way younger than that. Well, listen, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, Harlem Will Report.
So,
it looks like
in an app that I like to follow called PureWild.com, they report that five home trends millennials and baby boomers just can't agree on. And I thought this was an interesting discussion. I thought it was an interesting article because it discussed our home trends. And just a quick look into it. If it sounds like we're into neon lights and blush plink and brass accents, you might be a millennial. And I went, wait a minute, I do like that stuff. What's wrong with it? And they said, well, that seems to be distinguishing between baby boomers who they are more adapt to the farmhouse settings, right? So just to go through a quick snapshot, I'm gonna go through the five things that they talked about. One, overall aesthetics. Boomers prefer farmhouse rustic over millennials who prefer mid-century modern stuff. So for an example, we grew up during the Mad Men style. So a good percentage of millennials like to dress in set up their,
you know,
their houses.
I see the slant on this story.
We set up in a more minimalist modern style, whereas there's more of a farmhouse kind of family style with the house settings. Then the vibe of the home. Millennials like to be organized. Boomers like to be calm and relaxed. Then they say with the color palette, millennials, we prefer higher contrast colors, where boomers prefer more soothing tones. Then they go into polarizing wall art. Polarizing wall art. Millennials, we prefer boob line drawings. I love that name. Whereas boomers prefer wood art. And then the final topic.
Did you say wood art?
Wood art. I'm going to, yeah, so wood art, yes.
Wow. Wow.
They said it, not me. And then finally.
I can't wait to weigh in on this one. Go right ahead.
Sure. The final one, TV placement. Millennials, we prefer the living room, where boomers prefer it in the bedroom. And I always thought that was interesting, but then I was like, well, wait a minute. I'm pretty much in the Burton living room / bedroom myself. I live in a studio, so I was like,
oh,
all right,
yeah.
I guess that's a winner. So there's some things that I agree with and don't agree with. So it's some shades. There's some shades of agreement here. But I just thought that was a very interesting little
topic. Well, I'm sure you might find it interesting
woman.
Because, listen,
got carried attention.
Well, no, the wood art was only part of it. What I got from it was that I'll bet you this was done by a person who is a millennial, because the slant on this is just that for the older folks, they, you know, wood art, you know, rustic type stuff and cooling things, not much noise, kind of stereotypical things that we think of an older generation versus more hip type things that were associated with those who are millennials. And so that's the angle there. And, you know, what I hate, the only part of it I hate when I hear stories like that is that sometimes what happens is that we become ageist. And we don't even know that we're becoming an age, becoming ageist or having ageist type thoughts. And that's because of articles and things that kind of channel these things to you in a subconscious level. Like, it doesn't come out and say, you know, old folks, you like to do, you know, stay home or in this room, and the young folks like to be out and party and this. It doesn't say that. It says da-da-da-da-da, and you're thinking that it'll be something that is educating you on a disconnect where it's really kind of pointing out that you're old and these are young people. And that's the thing. So, and I really, you know, for wherever you are, I always tried to tell folks, even when I was much younger, I would always share with people because I was always told, I only in America, it seems, where we, how do you not realize that you luckily, hopefully, will one day be an older person? Like, how do you think? It just lends itself to such crazy to me, the way that we have created and developed and had these, this awful, you know, making people think that everything is only targeted to like a youthful, you know, one generation or just the youth. And that's the only focus and nothing else really matters, it seems. And that is so problematic. Because, you know, folks age out and you get older, and it's a shock to some people that that happens to them. But you have to, I don't know any other place that only celebrates one thing. Like, it's so just not smart in this country about how things. I just have to give up on it because it's too much crazy stuff for me. But I love the pieces that you, you know, the points that you raised in the Harlem World stories. They really were. And yes, a lot of us have grown a little tired of vaccine talk, but it's still needed. And so great stuff today, Harlem Will, on the Harlem Will Report. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now listen,
thank you.
I've got a couple of program notes really fast to mention to everybody as well. Coming up today in just a few minutes, we've got a special we have not aired. And, you know, all month we still honor Dr. King. It's not just on the 15th or the 17th or the 18th or whatever. It is an something, his legacy that we look to literally all year. And so Mary Reed Johnson of Hair Head Heart put together something really incredible, which looks at 10 reasons, or 10 things, I should say, that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King. So that's coming up in just a few minutes after the Harlem World Report today. So real happy. Tomorrow, Sam from BOPSA will be with us live all the way from Southern California. Actually, I think Sam is up north. He's a little bit up north or a little bit more central, but he's from California, and he'll be with us around 8 o'clock in the morning. So live on the air. So he has a new app he's talking about. He is a big proponent of hair products and the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. That's what BOPSA stands for. So he is the creator of that, the CEO of BOPSA.org. You can find out all about him. But, yeah, it's going to be an incredible. When he comes, I have to put a disclaimer on early on usually because Sam just puts it on out there as it is. So it's going to be really interesting. He'll be on at 8 o'clock again tomorrow on Friday, which will be show number 659. So good stuff, and, you know, real happy about that. Now, Harlem Will, I do want to just remind everybody, because it's we don't get a chance, you know, I kind of just take it for granted because Vet Talk Radio Show, they have their own, they have a ton of folks tuning in. They've got their own fan base, which is quite incredible. They're here. They tune in Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern Time for Michael Hopkins, Michael's Angels panel, and he does all kinds of talk to help folks who need to file claims with the government and all of this, the veterans who are, and issues and things that the veterans deal with, and they tune into his show. It's a popular show, I'm happy to say, and it's right here on our network, and it'll be expanded to our streaming network again in the next couple of days as well. And I have to say, Harlem Will, you always remind us about the hashtag. We didn't hear it today.
you ended my segment. That's why.
Okay. You got it. Well, I'll let you have the last word on that, Harlem Will. What have you got to say about
I wanted to say hashtag the year of the family. I wanted to leave it on a bit of a together kind of note and a bit of a somber note, because there was a few unfortunate things that happened out here in New York City. There was a recent explosion in the Bronx, and it unfortunately took a grandmother who was in the neighborhood. I'm friends with somebody in the neighborhood, and it took a longstanding member of the community for a long time. It took her life, unfortunately. And then we had a recent shooting that took a 19-year-old over here in Harlem. And she was only 19. And there was another recent shooting, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
of course,
the Harlem
terrible,
Will, if we might have to move some of these shootings. Yeah, to our, you know.
This is what I was going
to
say.
Wow.
This is what I was going to say, though. This is what I was saying. With all of this happening, I wanted to say, if you have a chance, call your uncles, call your brothers, call your mom, call your sisters, call any family member you can, and just get in contact with them and call them, because as the year of the family, with these recent events showing us, is that you're here today, gone tomorrow, and
absolutely,
you never know
and,
when you
and,
have the opportunity. Go ahead.
Absolutely, and I was just going to say, that's a good point. The thing, folks, you know, we try to make sure that our shows are always uplifting. So we will begin to take a look on our streaming network. We will delve into some of these social issues and social problems. You know, we don't run from crime. We don't run from any of these stories, but they'll be covered over in our streaming network. So good stuff, Harlem Will. Thank you for that. And, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. Coming up next, right after our commercial break, we are going to get on this this wonderful Dr. King. I love this. It's Mary Reed Johnson. She did a great job. Folks, stay with us. We've got more to go. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNatural.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
All right, folks. We'll be back with a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got some great things. Again, Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart will be with us in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I have a very special guest co-host joining me on the line right now. It is my great honor and pleasure to welcome back the one and only Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. Good morning, Mary, and welcome back to the show.
Awesome. Good morning, Kerry. This is like super day. Every day is super day if you choose it to be.
Well, this is true. It's a super day of guests to wake on up, everybody. And that's a good way to say we're happy that you wake up with us here at the broadcast each morning. So now, listen, Mary, I want to kind of jump right on in. It's about recognizing the amazing legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, you know, there's at least 10 things we're going to talk about today. Let's say
wow.
10 things right. that people should know about Martin Luther King, Jr. How's
awesome.
That?
Let's say that. 10 things that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Okay, awesome. I am ready for number 10. I thought I knew everything, so I should be pretty good at this. Dr. Martin
well,
Luther King's legacy.
And that's the thing. Most people do. Yeah, most people. I mean, he's been with us in spirit for
right.
many, many years.
Just, yeah.
But
right.
there's a lot of information. Everybody thinks they know everything, but I just want to make sure you know these things. Right?
Ooh, okay. So these are 10 things we should know about. Wow, okay.
Yes, yes. So number one in my mind is that
let's start with number 10, right? Or are you saying the most important thing? But yeah, let's count it down. We're going to count it down for you guys out there.
All right. Martin Luther King is one of only two Americans, right, that has a holiday named after them, and the only other person, well, whose birthday?
Hold on, let me see if I can guess that. Let me see if I can guess. You said Dr. King is one of only two individuals, I would imagine, who actually has whose birthday is a holiday. I'm going to have to say it is. I want to say George Washington.
Ding, 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 ding.
Was that,
yes.
is that right?
So, yes,
wow.
George Washington and Martin Luther King. That's it. Whose birthdays are national holidays. Yes, and it wasn't easy. Well overdue. You've heard the birthday song, right?
Right.
Birthday
the
song.
Happy birthday song. The old happy birthday song, happy birthday to you. Are you talking about the Stevie Wonder version? That's the Stevie version.
Yes.
Okay.
So they had tried many, many, many times to get, his birthday recognized, but it didn't work. So after his passing, actually, Stevie Wonder, he had written the birthday song already, right? He wrote the birthday song, and so Stevie Wonder and Coretta Scott King, which can we say this is a fact within a fact? If you don't know who Coretta Scott King is, please tell them, Carrie, who Coretta Scott King is.
Then you need to hand back your card if you don't know who Coretta. Coretta was the incredibly brilliant partner, to Dr. Martin Luther King. She was his wife. And her legacy is that amazing as well. She was an amazing legend all by herself. This was a great partnership for the ages.
Yes. So, great musician, Stevie Wonder, and excellent, most adoring and talented and skilled wife, Coretta Scott King, went around the country on a tour singing this song over and over, you know, happy birthday to you. And dare I not sing, but they went, did a tour. And while they were doing this tour of the music, they were also collecting signatures, right? So in the end of that 4 months, they delivered over 6 million signatures saying that they wanted his birthday to be recognized as a national holiday. And obviously they succeeded.
That is amazing. I remember a lot of that too. During my day, it was just incredible. And now it's hard to think that there was a time, Mary, that it was not the holiday, that it was, didn't exist as a holiday. It's hard to think of that because we've grown accustomed to it so much at this point and so very
valid. His wife and Stevie Wonder got out there and they did the work. And
they did the work.
Delivered those, got the petition and submitted it. And that's why we have
how it became,
so,
That's right. And we remember those days. I remember that. I remember that very well. Well, I am so grateful and I am so, so thankful to you, Mary, for sharing these little known facts, I call them, little factoids about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the celebration. How wonderful is that? So that's number 10. Awesome. Okay, I've given them numbers. And number 9, okay. Mary, on your countdown on things we should know about Dr. Martin Luther King, what else have you got for us?
How about, let's see, we're on number 9. What was
his
name at birth?
Yeah. Now, this one I know only because I just recently found out. But what I did notice is that other folks knew this, and I did not know this until a few days ago, literally. So I'm going to say his name, I believe his first name was Michael. But what I don't know is, okay, well, what exactly is the story, or when did he become Martin instead of Michael? I still don't know the story behind it. Do you happen to know that, Mary?
I have the popular story, which is not quite matching what I saw in the book, The Three Mothers, which was about the mothers of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and we were talking about this artisan the other day. Our writers, one of our great, great writers and artisans. I'm walking literally in my house and pulling out my book, James Baldwin, right? But that's a wonderful read if anybody gets to it. Yes.
Yes.
But,
James Baldwin.
I'm
going to
give you the popular story.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you the popular story. The popular story is that he was born and given the name Michael. He's from a line, he was a third generation minister and that type of thing. But his father, the minister Michael, went to overseas, and he was talking with and impressed by the Lutheran community, and their leader was, and he, you know, long deceased, but their leader
was
Martin Luther. So he was studying all of this, and he was really impressed. So he came back, changed his name as well as his son's name to Martin. So Martin Luther King Jr.
That's how it worked. Okay.
Yeah, and Martin at that point was only 5 years old. And even through life, this is part of what's in The Three Mothers, through life they called him Michael, like his close friends and family. They called him Michael still.
Wow.
But his name was officially changed by his father.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely amazing. I've always wondered that.
Yep. Well, number 8, if you're ready. This is for everybody, everybody who just doesn't believe that, you know, they're any good, if they've ever been in the pokey or if they've ever experienced trouble with the law and that type of thing. Martin Luther
Folks
King
in need of
has
a second
been in
chance,
jail.
It sounds like.
Oh, well, even more than second chances. He was arrested. One time he got arrested in Alabama for driving 30 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. Right?
Huh.
We get tickets. We shouldn't get arrested. So those types of things even happened to Martin Luther King, but he didn't let it stop him. He pressed on.
He pressed on. Well, you just mentioned about that. They stopped. There was the big case where the lady stopped the young black man, the Caucasian policewoman, stop the young black man because of his tail light and his rear view mirror, I believe.
Minneapolis.
Up killing him. She thought she had picked up her taser, according to her story.
If she had the wherewithal to say, taser, 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 very obvious in the video, she said it three times. She had the wherewithal to know it was not a taser.
There are a whole lot of circumstances and situations with it. And I think justice was served. So I'm very
Absolutely.
Happy about that. And I believe, you know, it doesn't bring the young man back. And God, how awful it is. Just awful. So, but that reminds me of that, Mary. So, Dr. King, you're right, and he pressed on, and so must we. So, listen, let me just remind everybody, folks, if you're just joining us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it is my great honor to have you with us. We are paying tribute to the amazing legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and it is, as always, it's a pleasure to have my guest co-host join us on this episode. It is the one and only. She's from Hair, Head, Heart. You guys know Mary Reed Johnson. Mary, again, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast. We're happy.
Absolutely. And I'm not doing it fully in order, but I'm doing it kind of in... like from young years up to what we know as the icon.
Well, listen, it sounds awesome to me. So I think you are at about number 7, if I'm not mistaken. I think number 7.
Yes, yes. What do you think Martin Luther King was doing when he was about 13 years old?
Let's see, 13. I'm going to say he was leading a congregation. I could
not
be wrong.
Not quite yet. He was raised in the church, and he was, you know, being... Oh,
okay, that was an easy one for him. Do I get one more guess?
Yes.
Okay, I'll say he was singing in the choir.
People, what do regular people do when they're, like, 13?
That's a tough one. At 13, you don't even think of anything. You're not thinking of anything, are you? I don't remember thinking of anything at 13.
Well, not that much, but again, he was being groomed for some stuff. But people need to work. And Martin Luther King...
Oh, he had a job?
Actually, he had a job. He was a paper boy.
Wow. Oh, yep, you know, and it's awful to not know that because I also was a paper boy. Now, see, had you framed that Mary Reed Johnson as what was your first job or his, I would have realized. But no, I did not think of it that way. But I'll tell you, that was my first job. And I was actually probably a little younger than that. But I remember I was a paper boy also. So that is inspiring. I didn't even know we had that in common.
Yes, it's like he was a regular guy who turned into an icon with some misogyny, you know? He delivered the Atlantic Journal at age 13.
Mentioned in the Atlanta Journal. We call it AJC now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, out of Atlanta area. Is that the same newspaper?
I'm thinking so, but I would have
to
do some homework.
I remember that. Okay, well, it sounds pretty good to me. Good job, Mary.
Yes, his parents did a great job.
Awesome.
So he's doing that at 13. Guess what he did by the time he was 15?
I'm wondering what on earth, what was left? Fly to the moon. I mean, he was so incredible. I'm going to guess that at 15, I'll say he started a church.
Not quite.
I'm going to keep saying it until I get that
he's
right.
He's still being baked in the oven. You want one more?
Okay.
Give me a guess.
I'll say that he got married.
Oh, nope, he's a little young for that. But he was kind of getting in that realm. He actually started Morehouse when he was 15.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Dr. King was a genius?
Yep. He, you know, it's so interesting because he, I think, skipped, I want to say 12th and 7th grade, something like that. But he was in college by the time he was 15.
Wow. That is amazing. Now that is incredible.
He skipped 9th grade and 12th grade. That's what it was. Yes.
Wow. No, he was so smart. You could just tell.
Well,
he was just an incredibly smart person.
Yeah, so look at our young people, and while we, you know, don't believe what the world says about them, you know,
right.
They can start young and do great things or be at least moving towards greatness. They can develop the skills, but we have to guide them. You know, I'm sure he didn't wake up when he was 12 and say, I think I'll go to Morehouse tomorrow. That took some massaging from his background and his parents.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we have to take that responsibility and guide our young people and not just berate them or talk about, you know, the negatives that media would have us believe about them.
Absolutely. So
the
leadership sounds very, very important with all of this.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay, now,
well, Mary, you are killing it. Okay, folks.
I'm
loving this.
I wouldn't love them some Martin. So
yes.
We are on number 6, 5?
I think, yeah,
where
I think we're up
Carrie?
To 5 now. I'm counting
all right,
5. All right. Wow.
All right. So, okay, he went to school, and did he just get one degree? We know he's a theologian, so we know he got some
right.
kind of after something somewhere, right? He didn't
True.
Just go to one school, by the way. Yeah. So for those of you who are in college, those of you who are in college and not making it work in one place, he went to several schools. But at the end of the primary education, he had a sociology degree.
Hmm.
He had a theology degree.
Wow.
Right? And that's through the Baptist minister's theology training, you know, that type of stuff. And one other, but he, you know, had those two as his primary base, the sociology and theology degrees.
Wow.
So,
Dr. Martin Luther King was nothing to sneeze at. Not
I think
at
the
all.
Other one was Boston University. He got his PhD. So
unreal. Mary, what
yep.
good
so,
information. Good information.
Well,
thank you so much.
These are things people should know. People
we should know
about
Dr.
Martin.
King. Yeah.
And
some
I'm
I do, but this
in,
I'm learning today.
Well, I'm going to throw in something that other people, everybody should be very, very aware of, and this is number 4.
Awesome.
That, okay, yes, he has he's one of only 2 people with the national holiday, but a lot
yes.
of people get confused with his national holiday birthday recognition and Black History Month. Birthday
oh.
is January.
Right.
Black History Month is February. So
yes.
be very
Go right
clear
ahead, Mary.
On those things. Well, I mean, I just want people to be clear and not get complacent and forget these very, very, very important things.
I think I have
so
a
Black
theory
History
on
Month?
This. Yes.
What is, tell me.
I think I have a theory on this, Mary. I thought about this. You know, why folks might tend to confuse Dr. King's birthday celebration. First of all, there's his actual birthday. Then there is his celebration birthday. And then Black History Month. So those are 3 things.
Right.
And
right.
So his birthday, his actual birthday that we celebrate every year is January 15th. And his holiday is celebrated the third Monday in January. And then
Correct.
Right after that, on the heels of that, comes February, which is just a coincidence. And that's Black History Month is celebrated, of course, in February. So then
yeah.
you have a lot of large, and I've noticed this in the past, a lot of large organizations or outfits who, you know, they will grab and they will, you know, mention about Dr. King again as part of their Black History celebration because he was so, you know, so incredibly important to the very fabric of that. So that's why. So for it's great because it's kind of like we've extended, but because February needed to be a little longer anyway.
Absolutely.
In terms of that.
So I'm not saying don't recognize it all, but just know that they are distinctly different.
Yes.
And so we had January, we had February, and now let's go to, this is a hint for some things he's known for. So what's the next month?
March. Oh, the March on Washington.
Yes.
Am I good, Mary?
So, you are very good. But you know what? The March on Washington, we're going to get to. But there was another pilgrimage. Absolutely. That he was first. Do you know? Okay, so the March on Washington was 1963, and we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
There was another march that he was part of, another group that he was part of, and it was his first national address. And that was like 7 years before that. It was
really.
It was, yes.
1957. Maybe the boycott. Was it?
It
the,
was no. It, nope.
Oh, what?
This was May 17th, 1957. Write it down. He was part of the prayer pilgrimage for freedom.
Oh,
and
I
the
don't
topic
think I knew
that,
that
he discussed, or the topic that he talked about, was voting. And his title of his speech was "Give Us the Ballot," and that was his very first national address.
Well, he could be very much making that same address today.
Absolutely.
What an incredible piece of information that I was totally unaware of. Folks, let me just bring up the speed if you're just joining us. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on the line with the amazing Mary Reed Johnson from Hair, Head, Heart. She's our amazing guest coordinator and guest co-host this morning. And boy, this is really a very special, special broadcast right here, talking about 10 things that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King. And I have to tell you, I don't know if I would be passing too well this morning on this. I know a few of them. But I'm learning. I'm learning along the way. I had no idea about that. That is incredible. Incredible stuff, Mary.
So,
good job. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do it. He did it. And
no, but
you know,
it's good that we know these things.
Yes, I think so. Because it's great that they highlight, you know, really important nuggets of his life. But if we dig, and you don't have to dig very deep, it's there, and he's just so much more rich and, you know, normal on some levels than us. I mean, it's the things that he did were iconic and blessings to millions. But part of his life, he was a regular person just developing. And I think that if you know that, then that maybe gives you hope to do more. Or at
Absolutely.
Least continue to do the right things.
Absolutely. Well, I am super hyped.
Truly. So we'll continue with March since you mentioned it. Number three. Ready?
Yes. I'm ready.
All right. And so that was the March on Washington. And it was supposed to be a peaceful march. It was a peaceful march. I don't know how many attended, but it was a big, big, big thing. And he did that famous march on the Capitol steps in Washington, 1963.
Wow. Amazing. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. That's amazing.
I know. It kind of is. I think of other icons that, you know, this year, one of my favorites, Muhammad Ali, he would be 80 this year.
Yes, which is still not, you know, it's still not really old, not these days. 80 is the new 70. And so there are a lot of 80-year-olds, like you, when you think of, you know, Jane Fonda, she's still thriving. And so many others out there. And look at the, you know, Betty White, who went all the way to almost 100, and Sidney Poitier and all these folks. So, yeah, you know, They're hanging in there these days. So Dr. Martin Luther King would have been, he would have been in his, what did, I think about 90 or so. He would have been in that ballpark somewhere. But good things, Mary Reed Johnson. I'm loving your count out. Again, it's 10 things that we should know about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm also phrasing it this way, 10 things that you probably thought you knew, but you didn't. And we're learning.
Yes, yes. So you mentioned something about aging and health and that type of stuff. So I'm going to mention some things in these last few that people tried to take him out of here. Like, do you know who Isola Ware Curry is? Or
no, no
Isola
idea
Curry?
What that even is or what.
Okay, so they described her, when I say they, I say media and government, described her as a mentally ill woman, all right? Mm. But she actually was in a crowd at a book signing, and she asked him, you know, make sure who he was, but she stabbed him with a 7-inch letter opener.
Oh, I think I did hear of this. Now, what was the significance of her doing this? It's just that she was mentally ill and she didn't? She just, you know, because you don't need a reason if you're mentally ill sometimes.
Right. So, well, that was part of it. And another part of it, she was blaming him for her losing jobs and, you know, these types of things. But the story just doesn't jive with me. But whatever it is, she was not successful in that attempt. And I won't say she didn't serve any time in jail, but she ended up her days pretty much in a nursing home in Jamaica, Queens. She lived to be like 98. Yeah, she lived to be 98. And so, and I think, I don't know if it was 2021 that she passed, but it wasn't that long ago. But Miss Isola is gone. She tried, but that wasn't his time to go.
Not at that time.
Got him right near his aorta, and they
said.
So
he was lucky to live through that.
Yes, they said if he had so much as sneezed or coughed, he would not.
That would have been it. Isn't that something?
Yep.
So you know, just sad stuff. Dr. King had. You know, his significance to the world is incredible, but he had a very difficult, as they say, folks who have so many gifts and are meant to touch the world in the way that they do usually, like the incredibly talented, have kind of a hard way to go in many cases. And, you know, and we just have to celebrate their legacy for those who have passed on and just continue the work that they started. And I think that's what we're doing here today in this remembrance of the amazing Dr. Martin Luther King. 10 things you should know. Okay, Mary, what else have you got for us? We should be down to the last two.
Yes. So along those lines of health and whatnot, and my mention earlier of The Three Mothers, a book that everybody should get, about Martin Luther King's mother, Malcolm X's mother, and James Baldwin, actually their whole family and what shaped them. But there was another person who, 6 years after Martin had passed, he went into the church. Martin's mother was playing the piano, just minding her own business, doing what she did, and this man shot her. And did not live through that. She shot her just while she was playing the organ at church. So this person also passed away supposedly of a stroke while he was in Jackson, Georgia prison or jail, just, you know, days after church mother, his mother was, so
just really sad.
He was out of the way. I'm not even going to say his name because
no, we don't need to hear it.
Okay. We were talking about the March on Washington, too. We'll go back. Do you know originally that March on Washington on the slate of speakers and participants. Originally, there were no women involved or included in that march.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But that one of the organizers was a woman, and she spoke up, and long story short, there were changes. But originally, it was going to be a man thing.
Well, maybe that's where later, way later, that march on Washington, where it was the turned into the Million Man March and kind of in that vein and celebration. Wow. And that might have been the genesis of that. So incredible uncovering.
I believe so. But thank goodness that, you know, and women always take your power, use it. Don't be in a box. You know, they need us. So we need to speak up and do all the great things that we do as well.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Well, women, great stuff. And I have to say, I'm just blown away with all of this. And before you get to the final item on your amazing list of 10 things you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I just want to say, Mary Reed Johnson, you bring us these wonderful updates. You bring us the countdowns. You are always instrumental whenever there's special program happening, special programming happening at the Hair Radio Morning Show, the HairRadio.com network, our streaming network, whatever we're doing. You bring these great tidbits of information I call factoids, and we are so honored. So before we get to number one, I want to take a moment, Mary. You have got to tell everybody, because this is a big question. Whenever you're on the air and I mention Hair Head Heart, folks say, what is Hair Head Heart? Can you tell us real quickly what Hair Head Heart is all about? And then we're on to number one on your countdown.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. Well, generically, I will say Hair Head Heart is a consulting agency. We deal with issues that relate to those things, hair, head, and heart. I'm a service provider. I'm licensed as an instructor and cosmetologist in Michigan and Minnesota. I absolutely help people online or in person develop their business, develop you know, standards, all these types of things. And then the heart is the passion related to these, as well as actual safety bins that I have related to these things. So I do things that improve those things related to hair, head, and heart.
And you bring a lot of that right to the Hair Radio Morning Show with your great guest co-hosting. So thank you, Mary. Thank you so much, Mary Reed Johnson, Hair, Head, Heart. Okay, now what you've been waiting for. Number one.
Do I get a drum roll here?
You get a drum roll. Yes, you do. There you go. I think we have one somewhere. But yes, you get a drum roll. And we're excited to know. I can't even imagine what is the number one item that I don't know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But we're going to see. Go right ahead, Mary. Okay,
you might know this, but I tell you that everyone who has seen anything about Bloody Sunday from 1965, where they started off a peaceful march, and it was crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and it turned, it gained national attention because it was so unnecessarily brutal and ridiculous that we got some things changed. And we have to thank Dr. King, Mr. Lewis, Senator Lewis, and this whole host
John
of
Lewis,
people
right.
who walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And do you know that walk was only, it should have been a 10-minute walk. I've actually walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and people still can. Can walk across it in like 10 minutes, but it turned into a whole national change.
It was a big thing.
Item. And so we cannot think about that walk without thinking and thanking Dr. Martin Luther King. So these are some things I think you should know.
Absolutely. And Mary, before we sign off on Dr. Martin Luther King's remembrance on this broadcast, I have to ask you,
What does Dr. King's legacy mean to you? And then I'll share mine.
Well, everything. It's like you just start where you are and keep growing and keep doing and keep moving. Don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a full awesome. Inspiration for me.
Awesome. And for me, I have to say, everything that I do is based on the framework that of Dr. King's legacy. It is just something that we must always remember. It's not just something that we pull out of a drawer once a year and then tuck it back away, after, the days have gone on. We must continue to keep his legacy relevant. And that has to come from all of us and each of us. And just by taking a moment to air this on today's broadcast means that we're doing just that at the Hair Radio Morning Show and hairradio.com and our platforms.
Yes,
so
he's
I'm
not
Terry
just
Hines.
An icon.
Yes.
He's a lifestyle.
Okay. Well, I'm loving that, Mary. Again, I'm Terry Hines with the one and only Mary Reed Johnson here at Heart with us today, and we'll see you back here next time. Great job, Mary. Thank you.
to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and my co-host today is the very great Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc. Now, they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here today.
And today we also are discussing the topic of hair loss. And we have with us someone who has been courageously fighting hair loss, and her name is Mary T. And Mary, we want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network today.
Thank you. Glad to be a part. Thank you very much.
Now let's just jump in, Mary. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I've been living in California for the past 40 plus years. I'm originally from Arkansas. I started dealing with hair loss though in California probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, tell us about that. So when you say you were dealing with hair loss, tell us what you mean.
Well, at first I got something like, it was almost like a pimple in the top of my head. As I was combing my hair, I really didn't think anything about it. And it was really sore. And then it was there and then it would go away. And then it didn't bother me for a while. My hair, I didn't notice any changes in my hair or anything of that sort. And then it seemed to occur every 2 or 3 months and then more often. So finally, I start seeing hair loss. I went to the doctors. The doctor, you know, did a diagnosis of me. He had me come back several times. And then he also had me come back several months with a pool of doctors from the Sacramento, Los Angeles area, and I believe he had a couple of doctors from some parts of Texas, too. I felt like I was on display because they was all kind of looking at my scalp, took hair samples to look under the microscope. They also looked at my scalp under the microscope. And it took them, you know, a few weeks to come back to me with the diagnosis said that I had alopecia areata. And they gave me a little bit of information about that, indicated that it could be from straightening comb when I was using straightening comb, which I really didn't use very much, but they said it could be from straightening combs and from perms, a combination. My type hair loss is the, I kind of have a male baldness. It started off real thin and now in the very top, I really kind of have no hair, and it's gotten very thin around the edges. So I kind of got a little depressed, discouraged. So at one point, I just shaved it all off to kind of see what would happen. The edges came back, you know, but the top where it had came, where I lost the hair, did not come back. I was also instructed by a hairdresser at the time that was taking care of my hair to use Nioxin shampoo and conditioner, and that was supposed to be really good. But I think it was good from what I understand if the hair loss wasn't as severe as mine. And, of course, I mean, it felt good to the scalp, but it really did not bring any of my hair back, do anything. That point, I start using wraps and different things for the hair because I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with wigs and wraps, but it got to the point that I lost so much hair. I went to a place that specialized in cancer and alopecia patients to look at wigs, and then they introduced me to some wigs that was soft to the touch of the skin versus, you know, really some of the wigs are really sticky, kind of stick to your skin and real itchy. So I ran those and I got a little bit more comfortable. And I'm comfortable with them, but it would be nice if I had hair, but I don't think that that's going to happen at this point because it's been so long and I keep losing hair. once in a while now the pimples will come back, not that often, maybe once every 2-3 months or so I may get that, and it's very sensitive to for me to touch my head or comb it. I still shampoo my hair, condition it every other day because I work out and I sweat a lot, so I still want to make sure
that
it's
clean.
Mary,
we want to let everybody know that you're still being treated, correct?
Right.
This is ongoing treatment for you.
Yes, it is, but nothing is happening, really.
Okay. I understand. Well, listen, we want to, and first of all, thank you again, Mary, for being with us and telling your story today on the Hair Radio Show. And we want to remind the folks out there who are listening right now to what you're talking about, and just remind everyone to certainly see your own physician so that if you are thinking that you have hair loss on any level, certainly you want to seek out and speak with your own physician so you can be properly treated. Now,
yes.
As we speak in general terms about this, this has been just something that is devastated. The doctor was on earlier with us and explained to us a little bit about what you're suffering with and some of the causes of hair loss. And I hear what you're saying. It sounds like a little bit of despair that, you know, you've been dealing with this for a long time and you haven't necessarily seen a whole lot of success in trying to treat it, so to speak. But from what I understand, that they're constantly researching. And Darlene, what would you say to that? If that's what the doctor said, they're constantly doing research, and you just kind of never know where it's going to lead. And I'm believing
yes.
that, you know, this
yes,
will be something that will be treated.
Yeah,
with more
like
success.
Dr. Amerson had shared with us that they are, you know, conducting research on. Mary, I'm sure you've seen the commercials with the eyelash, where the eyelashes, where they use a certain type of medication in order to grow the eyelashes. She said that they're doing research on that, of using that product in order to regenerate the hair growth. So it's not to say that this is something that may be happening down the road, but it may be an option.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
or it could lead to something
sensitive.
Else.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because if it grows the ileus are very sensitive. So.
Right. Exactly. So they're
well, Mary. They're,
go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, darling, thank you. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask Mary. Mary, has this affected, or how has it affected your home life, like, say, in the way that you may be relating to your family? Does it affect that at all?
You know, in the beginning it did, but actually my daughters know about my hair loss, but my sons don't know about my hair loss. I have not shared that with them. So when they come over, they're all adults. When they come over, they see me with either a wrap or a wig on, they ask no questions. They have no clue about my hair loss. My daughters and my husband do. But
Wow. Okay.
I don't know, my sons are kind of sensitive, so I'm not sure how they would react, so I have not even shared that with them.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I, you know, over the years, we've been doing a hair radio show since 1995. And I remember I had a caller once who said that she had been wearing a weave style, and her husband had been married for 8 years. I just never forgot this, that they had been married for 8 years, and her husband didn't know that she had a weave. And I,
wow.
You know, at the time I thought it was incredulous. But my goodness, I'm starting to think, well, you know, wow. It's just reminds me of that.
Yeah, my husband knew right away. Him and I talked about it, and I shared that with him right away. And actually, he tried to make me feel very comfortable. He said, well, as you lose it, he said, if you lose your hair, I'll shave my head. So, you know, whatever.
Oh,
makes
I
you
love
comfortable.
It. Oh,
so he made
yeah.
me very comfortable after a while with that. I just have not shared it with my sons.
And you know, and it may be something that may not, you know, I don't know what the answer is to that, if it's even necessary to do so. I mean, you know what's best, of course, for your situation. And, you know, but it's just a big battle, and it sounds like you're doing a great job in dealing with this. You've been dealing with this for a long time. So
The reason I have not shared it with them is because I think they would probably relate it to cancer. They would probably get really upset. Mm. And even though, you know, it's not cancer, I've seen their reaction to certain things. I remember when their dad got hurt in a car. They was very sensitive to that with his hip, and they thought he was going to have to wear this platform shoe forever, and they had this look on their face and saying, is he going to have to wear this shoe, even though he was well and looked well? So I thought, I don't want to share this with them and have them thinking, okay, Mom, she's not sharing everything with me. She's just not saying, and that she, you know, may have something that's not curable, which, I mean, you know, it's not curable, but I don't know if it's yes or not, but, you know, it's not like cancer that would eat you at this point, as far as I know. So that's why I have not shared it with my boys. My girls are more open and sensitive that they understand, and not that the boys don't understand. They're very educated, but I'm not comfortable at sharing it with them at this point.
I understand. Well, listen, we want to, first of all, take a moment to thank you for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show and sharing your story, you know, with us today. And
thank
we
you
want
for
to
having
certainly,
me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And we certainly want to encourage all of the guys, all of you out there who are listening to the Hair Radio Show right now to, of course, you know, check with your doctor if you feel that you're experiencing any type of hair loss. And on the subject, of course, you want to check more into it and keep it right here at Hair Radio, because we're going to be exploring a lot more of this as we go forward very, very soon. So, Darlene, I want to thank you for being with us and helping us to co-host.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, and I just wanted to add, Mary's case is just exceptional for the physician to run so many series of tests and in order to diagnose her condition. I mean, that's kind of unheard of for so many physicians to be present to actually diagnose this. I mean, because when I was experiencing hair thinning, I mean, I was in the doctor's office 15 minutes and I was out. So that is truly a blessing.
Yes, I felt very lucky about that. And that week that they came back, they happened to have all these pool of doctors, and they was having some kind of conference, and they asked me if I felt comfortable because that is something that they was in the process of researching. And I said yes. So I took off work. At the time, I was working. I'm now retired. And I took off work, and I spent 2 hours there with them.
Wow.
Looking at my hair, scalp, and all of that.
Wow.
Well, listen, I want to take a moment to thank you both for being part of this today. And this just begins to kind of lift the first layer, if you will,